Amen. And all we need now is Germany to get a ruler that says they want to go towards Israel, and we're in place, aren't we? But we're not talking about that topic this morning. So take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Acts chapter 2. And if you don't have a bulletin, please go get one. Maybe some of the guys can help me with one, because I'm going to have some notes for you this morning on the screen that go with your bulletin. We're going to do a little homework assignment. I want you to fill it in, be thinking about it. So find your bulletin. There'll be a paper in there. It looks like it says Sunday School, the Heart of the Church. And you'll find that and be right in place for it. Before I begin, as you're looking for those and finding your Bibles and all those different things, pens and stuff like that, I want to mention to you, please be praying for several others that we need to mention as well. Justin Barber, our youth pastor, was up most of the night with kidney stones again, and so you'd be praying for him. And then just praying that he'll get that straightened out. And then got a text just a few minutes ago. Miss Marie Nowell's been having problems, and Kevin had to take her to the emergency room just a little bit ago. So I don't know exactly what all is going on with there. She's had some blood pressure up and down issues, so different things going on. Been to the doctor already this week, but they just can't determine, seem what's wrong. So you be praying for them as well, and pray that God will give a healing touch there and be able to figure out what's going on with that. I know they'd appreciate that very much. So back some time ago, as you find your place there in the book of Acts, Brother Billy asked me about working with our Sunday school program. And I started first teaching Sunday school about right at 30 years ago. I've taught just about every age there is. And oftentimes, to be honest, the ones that intimidated me the most was the seniors' classes, because I felt like they knew so much. What in the world could I teach them? But I learned at Sunday school, if you use your Bible, you've got something to teach anybody, by the way. But I learned that it's not just about teaching, especially in our small groups. Now, I know we have the big auditorium class, and that is more of a straight teaching with not much interaction because of the format of it. But most of our classes are not, and really don't need to be. You learn stuff about each other. You make friends in Sunday school. You have that interaction time, and most people aren't looking for a friendly church. They're looking for friends at church. And if somebody comes into our church and they leave without knowing at least two names, then they might not come back. We might have failed. And that is sometimes an impossibility in here. And that's where Sunday school comes into play. And I found over the years that we are trying to do things that we already have in place. When you think about the book of Acts in chapter, I'm not turn to it necessarily, but chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Boom! That's what it was. That word power literally is where we get our word. It was dynamos, which also, when you go to the book of 1 Timothy, you find 1 Timothy chapter 1, 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Think of that. Boom! Again. I was watching Swamp People, where they were gator hunting the other night, and they had something in the way, and they threw a bunch of something out there and blew a hole in the water. You know, and blew a whole thing of trees away. Power. Explosive. And that is indeed what happened. The Holy Spirit of God moved on the scene. There have been 400 dead, silent, quiet, lifeless years. And then boom! Jesus died, came into this world, died on the cross, and He sent the Holy Spirit of God into this thing, and it revolutionized this world. 12 men, one of which was a crook and a liar, and he took 11 men and changed this entire world as they knew it. Is it still working today? Absolutely. You say, well, what happened to all that power? It's still here. It's not went anywhere. The same Holy Spirit of God is still here, still available, and still working. And so when we find that, and it's titled, some years ago when I was studying, and believe it or not, I did go to college and seminary and all that stuff. I know you can't tell it, but I went to one of when you get out of master's, we have so many useless books in this world, because when you get out of college, out of master's and doctorate degree programs, a lot of times you have to write a book. That's why we got so many useless books, you know? You'll get that a little bit. It's, I think there's a lot of guys in D.C. wrote a lot of useless books. But we're, at any rate, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do something that I was actually dealing with. And so the one that I came up with was entitled Sunday School, The Way We Do Church. And I wrote a couple books. One of them was Teaching Adult Sunday School and Living to Tell About It. And then Sunday School, The Way We Do Church, was a couple of the publications we put out at that time with that. Now, I will tell you, after 30 years of experience teaching Sunday school, watching Sunday school, helping with Sunday school, writing two books about it, you know what that means? It means I have about 1,015 things that don't work. That's what I can tell you. But I do know the Word of God's principles always work. And I want to share with you something this morning. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number, well, the sunglasses won't work. Maybe the they might make me look cooler, but the reading glasses might do a little more good. Chapter 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread, and in prayers. Now, if you were to look over a little bit further into, I believe it is chapter 5, you will find that it says that they were daily from house to house in the synagogue, and daily from house to house preaching and teaching the word. Chapter 5 and verse number 42. It actually ends that. And daily and in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach the word. If you actually wanted, if you just want to jot it down, the 2020 vision of the church, chapter 20 and verse 20 of Acts, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you and that I've showed you and I have taught you publicly from house to house. Now, this thing that was happening is they were starting small group Bible studies, as we know it, house to house. And that is indeed the 2020 vision of the church. Imagine, and I don't know, it looks like we're having some problems with our screen this morning, but that's all right. Y'all can still hear, right? I think. So we get to that point. Imagine somebody trying to spend, and if you see your paper there, it has a light bulb, hours inventing a light bulb. Now, for our Easter drama this year, we're going to be using some new lighting that is lithium ion, and it's wireless DMX, and we don't have to run cables all over the church. They respond to a board, which we couldn't work get to work right the other night, and some of our young college-age guys figured it out. One of them figured it out in just a few minutes because it's so similar to what they deal with in automation all the time. Bob and I looked at it 45 minutes and couldn't make it work. And I don't understand all that. All I know is that the board's way over there, the lights will be way over there, and they should do all kind of colors and all kind of things a lot better than we used to do it and a lot brighter. A lot of your cars, the LED lights, you know, they're so pretty and all that. Motorcycles, it's a really good thing to put those motorcycle lights on so you can see them. I've fallen off a motorcycle before. I'm all in favor of it. Well, I had to. Somebody pulled in front of me. But that's really awesome. With the LED lighting, the light bulbs under which you're in now have been changed to LED. Saves power. It's not as, you know, hot to touch. All these advantages. But now, wouldn't it be a silly idea if I were to come in here when we got ready for Easter drama practice and say, all right, lighting guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to spend a few days, years, months, whatever it takes, and make me a light bulb. Well, now that'd be foolish. That's like trying to invent a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You can't do it. It's already been done. And there's no reason to do it. And yet, year after year after year in ministry, I hear of people coming up with ideas, trying to do things that already exist. And the church, I'm afraid, sometimes can get so stuck in that they kind of get, I don't know if it's tradition, this is the way we've always done it or whatever, but things are there that are in place that can be done and are right at our feet. Most churches and publishers, if you go look in the publishing Christian world and all that, they're trying to invent new programs to do some of the things I'm going to share with you really quickly. The first one, and if you'll put that one on the screen, kind of jumped. Why Sunday school in the first place? Before we go on to the next, I'm glad he put that up. I forgot we wrote that. Sunday school is often for learning. It's for teaching. Sometimes we think it's just for children. That's not the case. We do learn there. That's a byproduct. We do teach there. We do a lot of those things. We study the Word of God there. But did you know that is not the reason Sunday school was founded? And I've got a whole booklet on this, and I didn't realize that Wendy, when she copied the back, had the back of it. That's free information on the back. We're not even going to cover that today. You can take that home, figure it out. That's not what Sunday school's for. It's not for people to come and learn and study something that they don't intend to do nothing about, know how. We got a lot of spiritually fat Christians because they come in and they eat and they eat and they eat and they don't ever exercise. And they're fat. You say, that's just mean. I can't believe you do that. Well, y'all might have seen the other day in one of the little puns, my mom sent it to me off of Facebook, and it said they were in front of a doctor, and they said, does obesity run in your family? And the person said, no, nobody runs in our family. Amen. I walk. I don't run. Well, that's where a lot of our churches are. They don't run. Paul said, I run the race, and we're still kind of trying to crawl. Sunday school is to challenge you to go out there and bring other people in to that class. Sunday school was founded, J.M. Barnett, one of the founders of the Sunday school, Jack Howes, one of his greatest quotes, many, many others, all stated Sunday school's purpose was to reach the lost. And churches have failed to carry the beacon over the years, and that's why Sunday school programs have started dying out, because there's no excitement there and there's no babies there. Now, we had an actual baby, a toddler, in our Sunday school this morning, and I thought it was great. It was fun. Brother Lane Johnson was teaching our class, and we had fun with it. But babies bring life. Sunday school's purpose was to go out, find lost people, bring them into a small group setting, surround them with Christians in a small group. And then on the back page, and don't look at it now, but you can look at it later, there's a Star Trek word, assimilate. They would become assimilated in. Somebody gets into your Sunday school class, it'll change the way you teach that's lost. And not only that, when lost people start coming into Sunday school and they get saved, where do you think they're going to go come Sunday morning worship time? They're going to go to church. And it makes it real easy. And a lot of the problems we struggle with, we already have at our disposal. And if you look at the number next there, it builds. What are our church's goals? It builds small groups. We have the Bible study, the women's group, and we have the men's group. All those are effective because they are small groups, one-on-one. One of people's biggest things is, I don't like large crowds. I don't want to speak in front of a whole lot of people. Sunday school, if you get involved with it, brings you around a small group of friends, ideally similar to where you're at in life. especially our young couples. We have a brand new young couples class in the 30s, and we haven't had anybody go to it yet. You might not know it's there, so we're going to help you with that. They're going through, it's not just the teacher standing up, it's those, look at that next one there. Build relationships. Some of the greatest friends I've had over the years have started in Sunday school class. They're going through the same things. In our class this morning, there's a couple of them in college, some that are married, and they were talking about, one of our young ladies was on spring break, and she said, well, my spring break was great. I got up at 5:30 some mornings, and every morning I was in another class observing classes to get my assignments done. That's how college spring break does feel for some of you more studious. And then there's me, who went fishing and go-kart racing during spring break. But yeah, there goes that English final at 27 again that I got. But it is about building those relationships with those around you. It builds bridges to the lost. One of the members in our Sunday school class this morning found out another one of the members used to play baseball, just like they did. It builds those bridges. And everyone should know at least two names. When you're in a Sunday school class, you learn names. You call people by their name. Next, it builds church growth. Very rarely. Now, one time, at one point in our ministry in Florida, when I was down there, we were using a program called Multiplying by Division. What that simply means, when our Sunday school class got to 15, and by the way, when a Sunday school class gets to be about 25 or 30, it's done. That's as big as it's ever going to get because that's big as the room can hold. You might get to 50 if you really squeeze them in there, but at that point, it's time to start training the teacher and start a new class. Reproduce it. The biblical concept of fruit. And so we began doing that, and after a while we had, I think it was 3 young adult college age classes that went from our class, and they knew it was happening. It wasn't one of them things, oh no, somebody's leaving the class. No, it was encouraged. We would have them teach, and after a while they would begin to take over. Eventually we'd send about 5 or 6 people with them to go start a new class just like that. And it built the backbone of that church. We ran evangelism through Sunday school. We would encourage people, bring your lost friends to Bible study, Sunday mornings, whatever you got to do, get them into there. Tell them, I'll go with you. I'll sit with you. I'll bring you to the class. I don't know, sometimes, and this is just kind of a side note, I think we that have been in church all of our lives forget what it's not, what it's like for those who haven't. I think we need to have somebody out in the parking lot. Welcome them to Sunday school. You say, well, you can find the door. Anybody ever went to Duke Medical Center? Any one of the Duke Medical Centers, especially the big hospital, and tried to get in that place? I mean, you have to ask somebody. There's maps, there's tunnels. I mean, you can get lost. When somebody pulls up our church parking lot, you can't even find the front door. It's not near the parking lot. And if you don't know where to go, you could wind up in the broom closet. You're laughing. I came in here the first time I came in this building. I got lost. I didn't know where to go. And you got to think, what's it like when you first walk there? This builds church growth through that. It builds up the believer's faith. Man, some of the teaching that our teachers are doing in there. And I had the luxury of just sitting and listening in my class this morning. It's good for your faith. You get encouraged. There's stuff you learn that will help you through the week. There were things that were relevant to our everyday life in our class this morning that were taught about. I was like, man, I needed that. I need that for this week. And it is one of those things that helps us. Something else that happens through Sunday school, when you do it right, builds a record-keeping system. You don't know how many times I've had this conversation with church members, concerned people, our pastoral staff. Have y'all seen so-and-so lately? I had a lady just not long ago. I was looking around to see if she was here today. I don't think she's here today, but had a lady that's in our Easter drama this year. She's been coming to our church a month and a half or so, 2 months, and she introduced herself to me at Easter drama practice, and I didn't even know her. I didn't know she went to our church. Because there's a lot more of you than there are of us. I mean, you start involving the drama school we're involved in, or a camp ministry, the preaching softball fields we go to. I can't keep up. Everybody starts to look the same after a while. Well, Billy and I have laughed. I mean, we go places all the time, and people come running up, and they'll give you a big hug, and they're glad to see you, and you're like, I'm glad to see you too. And I've learned that they're over 65. I can say, I heard you've been sick, and it usually will work, and I'm starting to understand that now. But I get you. But and they'll go away, and our families will say, who was that? And we'll say, I don't know. But with Sunday school, you can get somebody to help you be a secretary in there, and all of a sudden, you've got a built-in record-keeping system. They don't come to Sunday school 3 Sundays in a row. One of the things we had in place was if you didn't see somebody 3 Sundays in a row, they got a phone call, a visit, and everything else. Not to say, hey, you guilty sinner, where you been? It was, I'm concerned. Are you okay? Is there anything we can do to help you? You know what loneliness is in church? It's missing 3 Sundays in a row and nobody missed you. And when you get in a Sunday school class, that shouldn't and can't happen. Because they're able to find you and they say, wait a minute. Okay, well, all right, I know where they are. They got to work today. Yep, I remember that. It's much more than just study. It's a friendship, a relationship time. And if COVID taught us anything, it is that we are not little islands. You can't live like that. And if you are struggling in your spiritual life to stay close to God, let me tell you, Sunday school will help you. You need it. More and more as the day approaching. You say, well, why did you start out with Acts where they were meeting house to house? Because that's what we're trying to replicate in Sunday school. Man, I can't wait till we get a new building because if I'm teaching Sunday school at that time, I won't mind to have couches in it and lamps. Look like a home. Make it homey feeling. Because that's what they did. They met house to house in a Bible study type format. It says if you actually study it, they were meeting each other's needs. They were seeing if each other had financial needs, physical needs, if their widows need fed. It builds, and I was kind of laughing because I didn't realize I was coming up on this week because this just came up in our deacons meeting last week. It builds deacon ministries. I'd actually forgotten this. One of the things we did is we started taking our Sunday schools, and it gets very difficult. We were talking about this the other night. There's so many people incoming, which is awesome. Because I know churches are shutting down, which is horrible, but I know we're seeing an influx, and it's great. But one of the hard things to do is for our deacons to keep up with who's who and who they need to reach out to and who they need to help. And if you want to criticize the way our deacons ministry, then let me give you about 50 names and see if you can keep up with them. And let you try it for a little while before you criticize. Let me tell you, before you criticize somebody, you need to walk in their shoes for a little bit. It might change the way you view them. And our deacons have done a great job over the years, which is why Brother Billy is still here. I can promise you that. That's the biggest reason a pastor stays somewhere is the deacons. And when you look at this, I remember we took our Sunday school classes and we gave each deacon, we split them up according to our Sunday school classes. I think we have, I'm trying to remember, Brother Wayne, you don't remember, do you? He's my Sunday school assistant. 13, 14, somewhere in there, Sunday school classes. It's on the sign out there, 12, that's right, it's exactly 12. You're right, Brother Wayne. See, that's why he's the assistant. He can count. I can't count. But we have 9 deacons, so that means one deacon gets a couple of classes extra. But if we split all of our Sunday school classes up by deacon, then they can go to the Sunday school secretary, get all the information they need to follow up. You say, well, I'm not in a Sunday school class. Well, guess what? You need to get in one. Because if you get in a Sunday school class, they have your information to help you, not to check up on you. Once again, please, and those that are checking up on me, it is not, oh no, they're going to call me because I missed. It's not that way. It's set up for this. I appreciate sometimes we're out of church because we have to go, we make a Florida, Georgia run, checking on elderly parents. Sometimes we're on the ball field preaching. Sometimes we have other things. We're at another place. And I appreciate when somebody says, I missed you. Or I was praying for you guys while you were gone. And that is exactly what's supposed to happen. And you say, all of that sounds great. What kind of program do we need to develop to do that? Nothing. Said it'd be stupid to reinvent the light bulb, wouldn't it? I mean, it's improving all the time. I was joking this morning. Now, if you steal my idea, I want 10%. On the way to church, I told my wife, and my mind is hyperactive. It goes all kind of direct. When I'm preaching sometimes, it's hard to zone it in. And I'm thinking about something over there, you know. But I was riding down the road, and I looked at Wendy, and I said, you know what? I said, somebody needs to start a computer chip and little electric solenoid company right here in North Carolina. They'd make millions because of all the chip shortages and everything instead of outsourcing it, you know. And I said, if you want that idea, run with it. And you can make a lot of money. But I said that because it feels like we're having to reinvent the whole wheel. We're having to reinvent how we get things, you know, 6 to 8 months before people can get their car because they're waiting on something to be built. I'm like, hadn't Americans figured out how to build this thing yet? And that's where it is with Sunday school. Churches are going, well, we need a record-keeping system. We need something to build the faith. We need something to build bridges to lost people. And it's there. Already got it. Sunday school. Here's what you got to do. Just get involved in Sunday school and start working Sunday school. And we got to get our attitude away from, well, we'll have Sunday school, but ain't nobody coming. Have you asked? I sent out a text to about 15, 20 people inviting them to our class today. We have texting. We have instant messaging. You say, well, I can't text. Well, Charles even got a new phone. He's got a smartphone now, so he can do it. Anybody can. He'll poke his head in any minute here. I think our pastor has one. But if it's like mine, it's a dumb phone because it never does what I want it to do. But learn to do it. Learn to do those things. Find out where the people are. And if they're not in that avenue, cards still work. It's 55, 60 cents, but that's cheaper than fuel. So it's there's a method you can find. All those things are in there. Anybody in here, is there anybody in here who was alive when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor? That would have been a while ago. Except both Bob, you were probably young, weren't you? He was very young, he says, very, very young. He wants to emphasize that very, very young. One of the most famous quotes that the Japanese general made was they thought he would be overjoyed by the destruction at Pearl Harbor. He was not. He made this quote, "I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant," in reference to America. Boy, I'd like to go there with something else. I'm going to leave that one alone. It's time we simply wake up the Sunday school class. We have the giant within our church to do all of these things that you just got. Brother Doug's going to have to trust Rose's writing on that one. It's picking on Brother Doug, but they were out counting. They weren't playing hooky, I don't think. That is all right there. And I'm going to ask our Sunday school teachers if they'll start making their way up here. Watch that side. We got the board loose on that side. But if you want to use just all of our teachers and assistants, I want you to come right up. And now I want you to do this. I want you to help me here. This is not testimony time. This is tell what your class is, what age it is, kind of approximately maybe where it meets, and your name and your assistant's name. That's it. We don't have time for a lot of other, and because we're going to give you a chance to talk to folks here in a second. when we go outside. So we have a great group. Y'all come on up on the stage, and those that are having trouble with that, help Miss, maybe Miss Kay, a couple of us, help them up on the stage a little bit, because I want you to use the microphone. Or I guess we could pass a microphone. If y'all want to stay down there, we have a microphone we can pass down. Okay, we got one right down here. We don't have to come up on the stage, Miss Kay. If you want to stay down, that's fine. We'll get a microphone to each one of you. But a lot of times people don't come because they don't know there's a class for them. When I started doing Sunday school this year, I realized we didn't even have a class for the 30 to 40-something age. What? And so we started one, Brother Wayne and Brother Justin, who sit today. They'd love to have you in there. I'd love to see us start getting our adult Sunday school classes, having activities together. We used to do cookouts at each other's houses. We did all kind of things within our Sunday school class. And let's see, we've got the mic down. We, First Baptist of Jacksonville, and I'm going to kind of close that out with it, had a ministry. Last I checked, they had over 14,000 in their church. They ran two services because their 9,200-seat building wouldn't seat everybody. You say, how'd they do it? Door-to-door evangelism through the Sunday school. And what they would do when you... Jacksonville is one of the largest per square mile cities in the state of Florida. And what they would do is when you would come in, they would assign you to a Sunday school class as soon as they had your information, whether you joined or not. If you never showed up, they'd start following up. Every 3 weeks you weren't there, somebody from the Sunday school class would check up. When they would do that with the largeness of the city of Jacksonville, Florida, the reason they would do that is they would put all of a Sunday school, all of the adult Sunday school classes would all be in the same locality of the city. Because in that city, it was really hard to get out. There were people coming in from 50 miles away. And so then they would encourage them, your Friday night Bible studies, your Saturday night get-togethers, do that at one of the members' house and have kind of a block party. And then reach, and now that Sunday school class, we want that Sunday school to bring their whole neighborhood to Sunday school class. And so they would begin to do it that way, and they would reach it, and that's how they built that great church that's still going strong in all of their ministries, was through the Sunday school. And so I want you to meet your Sunday school teachers, and who wants to be first? They're all looking at one another. Nobody wants to be first, so but go ahead, Ms. Barr.
I'm Denise Barham. I and Brenda Palmer teach the 2 to 4-year-old Precious Lambs class. It's over there down that hall. And at this moment, we only have 2 little students, so we would love to have a lot more. We'd love to fill the classroom. So if you've got little kids, please bring them to Sunday school. We'd love to have them.
I'm Sherlina Reeves. Taylor Phipps is my assistant, and we have his kids, which is kindergarten and first grade. And I think they teach us instead of us teaching them, but they're great kids. We have mostly about 4 in there. We could have a few more, and please bring them. They do. Our kids do need this. We need them to know. They need to have this in them, and it needs to grow in them, because when they face life, and especially the way things are now, we know where it's going. They need this. So please bring them. Thank you.
I'm Earl Bailey. I teach to 4th through 6th grade, and we're down this hall, I think the 2nd or 3rd door down there. Currently, I have no students. I also don't have an assistant, but I don't have any students, so I don't really need an assistant. What we've done is we've combined the 4th through 6th grade, which is my class, with the 7th and 8th grade and the 9th through 12th grade. And we usually have 3 to 4 students in there. And that's a shame nowadays. I mean, that's really a shame. But most of it is not the children's fault. It's the parents' fault, because the 4th through 6th and 7th through 8th grades can't get here unless their parents bring them. So that's bad on us for not bringing the kids to Sunday school. And I've always told my students, Sunday school is where you can interact with me, where you can ask questions, where up here, when the preacher's preaching, if you have a question, you can't raise your hand and ask, but I try and get them to ask questions so that they learn more.
My name is Lynetta Lockhart. I teach the Women at the Well class. We meet in a classroom down this hallway, all the way at the end, on the left. I don't want to say an age group because if anything that I learned as a teacher is you can be blessed by any age group, and I can learn from anybody. So we're a small group of ladies, but I welcome anyone to join us. After my salvation, I think the greatest thing we have is the Word of God. And to study that together as ladies, as we face different things, it is important. And I hope that you will join us. My assistant is Debbie Williams.
Wayne Wall, Justin Barber is the assistant. We teach each other right now because there's no one in our class. 30 to 45, I look out, and many of you are still 30 to 45. So we welcome you to come and join our class this Sunday. We're right out the double doors here. And whether you're single or married or whatever, just come on in, bring a smiling face, and we'll share the Word of God with you.
Brother Wayne's been teaching about 50 years, hasn't you? A little over. 37?
My name is Barry Barber, and I teach here in the sanctuary, the 45 through 60. But something we've always done here at Benson Grove, and I can remember back before this when we was over in the Sunday school class, wherever you are comfortable,
that's right.
That's where we want you to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had children over there with their parents. Mm-hmm. And then I've had way older than our age limit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The thing is, we need to be under the gospel. And we need to be learning what God's Word says to us as His children and how to live our lives and be a light in the community. And those young people that are in this community are looking at us. And we need to be an example before them. And they need, you know, it's like Sister said a while ago, in the world we live today, we certainly need, especially the children and the young people, in church. Mm-hmm. So let's just pray that we'll be a church that, thinking about all ages and all people and all groups, everybody needs the gospel. Amen.
My name is Gary Mayberry, and I'm the assistant to the Golden Seniors class. Teacher is Brother Mitchell Barber.
We're the Golden Seniors in the other classes. As you grow older, you can move up if you want to. Like Barry said, sometimes we have people in our classes that are younger than what the record says. We're from 60 up. You don't have a Sunday school class to go to after you get to be 80 or 90 or whatever. You just graduate to heaven. So we would like anybody who's 60 or above or younger, if you would like, to come to our Sunday school class and bring your friends.
I'm John Langdon. I'm Danny's assistant.
Hi, I'm Danny Wood, and John is my assistant. We lead the Fellowship Hall Bible class, and that class is mainly adult. However, it was really created for any age group. And the creation of it was so if we had a visiting family that came in, that whole family could come in and sit down. And we sit out at the tables in the fellowship hall, and that's how we teach. And we just teach primarily from the Bible. You know, that's what we use as our quarterly. So if you have a Bible, you come in, you're right with us because you'll have the Word of God in front of you. And we welcome the interaction in our class. We have a lot of question and answer sessions and good discussions in our class. So we would welcome any of you to come in and sit with us of any age. Thank you.
I'm Lane Johnson. I'm Brother Calvin's assistant, and we are the young adult and college-age kids.
And I'm Calvin Ramsey, and I'm Tim's assistant and his assistant. I'm third in line, really. But I just want to say that our class is full. There's three of us that have to teach. We're full. But we're the class where the churches lose most of their youth, crossroads. And it's really a crossroad to make that jump from high school to college, because they go from being pastor-led and church-led and to being fed off of because of the evil that's they've got to go to. But thank God we've got the group we have here. But Grandma and Granddaddy, I just want to say something. I can remember my granddaddy and grandma, they made sure I was in church. They brought me to church. They went about 8 miles out of the way to make sure that Calvin, Penny, and Carolyn were in church. And we got aunts and we got uncles. And this day and time, the way the children are just so displaced, one of our youth in our class this morning who's working with a nursery group said the kids come in and they're saying, shut up. And they're saying, get out of my way. And all these children know is evil. That's because they're not in Sunday school.
Hi, I'm Roger Romito. I teach the high school age kids in the Truth Seekers class. The room is down that hallway there. And as Earl said, the fourth through sixth graders and the seventh and eighth graders, who are teacher there is Denise Bird, who's not able to be here today. And me in the high school class, we've combined because our numbers are currently around four or five for the combined total. If we have five, that's a good Sunday for the combined total of those three classes. With those age groups, we strive for interaction, as Earl mentioned, and sometimes it's a little tough to pull questions out of folks, but you try to be creative and ask questions, and they'll learn. They do want to learn. They do have questions. At that age, they're a little self-conscious to ask them. So you get to know your kids, you'll be able to have those discussions. And I don't think any of us have assistants in our classes currently. As Earl said, don't need them yet with the numbers, but encourage the parents. Most of the high schoolers can't drive, let alone have a car to get here, so they rely on their parents as well.
And Karen is my assistant, although we haven't had a big number in a good while where I've needed her, but she's always standing by if I do. But this year I have five on my roll, and those kids are so precious, and my class is down towards the end on the right, down that hall. But I try to stress always what Jesus did for us, and the Word of God, how precious it is and how important it is to learn that Word and keep it in your heart so that we will always have it to follow Him. And they amaze me. That's second and third graders. They amaze me how they can carry on an adult conversation about Jesus. And it just blesses me to no end. And my prayer is always, Lord, don't ever let me say anything that would lead them astray in any way, because I always want to be a guide so that they can come to me or talk to me if they need to. But I always stress that, talk to our pastor, your parents, or anything. But we go through that gospel message. We go through the plan of salvation a lot. And my kids know, if you've ever been in the Pathfinders class, Matthew, you're always my kid, and I just always look at you that way. You're always part of my heart. So anyone that's got a second or third grader, or I've had them younger or older, because I tell them, you know, I don't want you to leave. Just stay with me, because it's very important that we reach everyone we can, and especially our kids. Thank you.
I'd like to emphasize one thing that Tim mentioned. Sunday school is not just for kids. Jesus said that of such is the kingdom of heaven. We need to be more like kids.
don't turn kids into silent, stale adults. Amen.
Amen. And thank you. Give them all a hand. I appreciate them so much. And now I'm going to ask our Sunday school teachers. Our Sunday school teachers are going to go out in the hallway, and we're going to give you a chance to catch them on your way out this morning. We're going to end the service just a little bit differently than we usually do, and we're going to have them have a chance just to go out in the hallway. We're going to get give them a moment to get out there. And I want to remind you, and you can ask them all questions. I think there's actually, I know some of you got to get some kids from junior church, but make sure and come back by and talk to the Sunday school teachers, because I think they got some balloons and some stuff for them as well. Got some prizes for them that they'd like. Miss Shalina Reeves helped us get that together, and we have some prizes for the kids out there, so they want to talk to them. But stop by, get to know your class, and find out where they meet. Ask some questions to them. They'd love to talk to you. I was just thinking, Jesus changed the world with 12, and we got 12 classes. And I put on our goal this year, 222 and 22, which is a mouthful. That means we need 18.5 people in each class. Now, those toddler classes might not want 18.5, and I'm trying to figure out who the half is. Who's the half person here? Somebody told me they were big enough to be two people. They were one and a half, so they'd count for one and a half. But it's wherever you fit. But you get in a class, and there's much more I could say about that. But I'm not gonna. I'm gonna let you look at it on the back, and then we'll be doing that over the next few years. It takes a while. These kind of things don't happen overnight. Brother Bill, did you have anything you wanted to close us with today? And well, let me close with a word of prayer. As I said, that's very different. But I want you to have time and run back there. And I know the call of the silent blars like to call it a wild. It must be obeyed, you know. So, but we want to try to get out there and talk with the Sunday school members. And good night. I don't know about you. I hate to walk in somewhere, a place of business, and see somebody standing over there holding the broom up because they ain't got nothing to do. I had an employer one time said, look busy. And I'm like, I can't look busy. I'm either working or I'm not. I can't do in between. So don't let them people go in there and just sit there. Make them be busy, all right? They want to be. They're here because they love it. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time we could share this morning. I know a little bit different type message than normal. But God, as your word tells us, going house to house, building relationships, I want to pray now that we start having lost people in our Sunday school classes. I've seen the excitement when you have lost people in Sunday school. People start asking questions. They start seeing the change. They start helping one another. And we see God do miracles. God, that's what we're asking for. Some people years ago said Sunday school was dead. That was 20 years ago I heard that statement. Here we are. And I don't think we're going anywhere. God, I just pray that you will help us implement things that will ultimately lead people to Christ, which is why we're all here, and help us keep the main thing the main thing. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.